Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 100 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. What a milestone. So exciting and kind of fun that it's this time of year, end of year, beginning of a new year. So I so enjoy doing this podcast, and mostly what I love is getting to meet you guys, seeing you in the Facebook group, the flight groups, and getting to interact with you and follow your journeys. So this has been super, super rewarding, and I look forward to the next 100 episodes. This is Jamie Russo. I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the founder of Everything Coworking. And we have a special guest on this week, Mara Hauser. She was my guest for episode number 50, so I have to confess, I held her episode a little bit so I could line her up for number 100. We actually recorded it, I don't know, a while ago. She asked me the other day, she's like, hey, when is my episode going to be on? And I said, I'm saving you. She was also on episode number 80. On number 50, she talked about suburban co-working. And on number 80, she talked about design principles. And this week, we're getting a little bit tactical, but I get questions about this all the time because it's really mysterious for people who are doing this for the first time, which is, how do I figure out where to source furniture? What kind of furniture should I use? Where do I get it? Who can help me figure out the layout? How long does it take? How long does it last? Etc., etc. And as with everything in designing our co-working space, a lot of it depends on who are you serving. And Mara talks about that. So a little bit about Mara. She is the founder and CEO of 25 North Coworking. So she owns three locations. Well, they are just launching their third location in Frisco. And she has two outside of Chicago, Illinois. She's also the founding principal at Workplace Studio, which is a corporate design studio. So she has years of design background that she is now overlaying on the co-working industry. And I just love the combination of her background because so few people run co-working spaces and design for them. And that's their actual professional background. And the ability to understand the business model and make decisions accordingly is so helpful. And Mara will share in this episode, one of her first businesses was actually owning a contract furniture dealer. So she has really deep expertise in that too, which is awesome. So before I dive in, I just want to mention, since we're rolling right into the new year, I just opened my flight group program. It's called In-Flight Program. So this one is for operators that are already open. So if you're already open and looking to focus on growing your business or just optimizing your business, or you just want to connect with other operators, we are opening seats in that program this year. I've been running that program as part of my co-working startup school program for new operators and post-launch operators as kind of a beta, but I've been doing that for about a year and a half, and I've mentioned a few times it's one of my favorite things to do. I just love the connections and getting to help people through their journey and watch them support each other. So it's a really, really great group. We do monthly calls, and then we have a Slack group that is super active. You can get all your questions answered outside of the monthly calls, but all the details are at www.everythingcoworking.com/flight group. And they're all just on that page, no opt-in or anything. You can read about it. And if you want more information, certainly feel free to shoot me an email. And now we're going to jump into the interview with Mara. I am super excited to have a return guest. And I think she is the most featured guest on the Everything Coworking Podcast. Mara Hauser is joining me again today. She is the founder and CEO of 25 North Coworking. She is also the founding principal at Workplace Studio. And I will let her tell you more about her coworking space. She's just in the midst of opening a third location in Frisco, Texas. But if after listening to this episode, you want some more of Mara, she is on episode number 50 on suburban coworking. and episode number 80 on the design process for co-working spaces. And the reason that Mara gets repeated so often is that she's super active in the co-working world. So she is the president of the League of Extraordinary Co-working Spaces. You can check that out at lexc.co. She's a member of the Global Workspace Association board, and she's pretty unique in the industry in that she runs successful co-working spaces and also has an interior design studio. So she is a designer who has the experience to overlay the co-working model on her design practices, which is hard to find. So I rely on her industry expertise and what she sees in her roles in the industry to share it with us and help us learn. So Mara, thank you for joining us again today.
You are welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so Mara is live from Frisco, Texas. Mara, tell us a little bit, for anybody who hasn't listened to the other episodes, a little bit about 25 North and your new location in Texas.
Sure. 25 North Co-working is more of a suburban or second-tier market co-working space. And we have two of our spaces, the Frisco and Arlington Heights, Illinois location, are actually a complete live-work-play model where we are the first floor retail of luxury apartment buildings. So we are super excited to work hand-in-hand with the developer of the property, who has amazing residential units, and we have lots of play between the two of our locations within the complex, whether it's pools or fitness centers and yoga studios and, you know, bikes that you can grab to head into like the downtown markets. So we love to be in central business districts that have a great vibe and have amenities surrounding our workspaces as well. So really excited about that. Our spaces are pretty contemporary, but they are quality workspaces so that people who live in the local area have a productive, inspirational, and professional space to go to work, whether it's to build their teams or to bring their guests to our space. So we have a pretty heavy meeting room business as well as quality workspace and private offices and team. So yeah, we're very excited about our growth.
Yeah, and speaking of growth, remind me how big each of your spaces is, because I know you've expanded all of them over time, or both of them over time, and now the addition of Frisco,
right?
Geneva and Arlington Heights. Tell us about those.
So we have just about 17 or 18,000 square feet in all of our locations, which we started around 9 or 10,000 square feet. So as we have needed, we've added on, which is really super. In Geneva, we are first floor retail as well, but in kind of a courtyard office complex. And we have one whole building, and then we've added on in the second building. And then, of course, in Arlington Heights, we had started with 12,000 square feet and then added on 5,000 square feet block on the other end of the building, which is super. So that seems to be the right model, you know, but we can grow into it. It's not like you have to, you know, take that much space at the beginning if it's not needed, but we have to know when to trigger, you know, that expansion is necessary. So it's kind of where we've been.
Awesome. So the other unique thing about Mara's background is that her very first career and the first business that she owned was in the contract furniture world. And Mara and I were talking about this recently and saying, man, how do people figure out kind of how to navigate this world when they're working on designing a co-working space, and depending on who's on their team, and we'll talk about this as kind of part of our conversation today, it can be challenging to know when you get to the furniture piece, you know, how do I select furniture? How does contract furniture work? How do I make decisions about what furniture to use in my space? So I asked Mara to kind of dive into that topic today. So Mara, I'll let you kind of kick this off and talk about kind of what is contract furniture. You know, what do people need to know about it? And, you know, kind of give us an overview.
Sure. So the best way I can explain contract furniture would be very similar to the automobile industry. So just like you can't just go buy a Toyota from Toyota, although of course Tesla is changing the way that works, you have to go to an auto dealership. So dealerships, you know, in the car industry or automobile industry represent certain brands, and maybe some dealerships have multiple brands, but they're never usually in the same shop. right?
Yeah.
So someone might have a Toyota dealership, a Ford dealership, or, you know, so that is something that contract furniture requires the purchase through an office furniture dealership. So contract furniture manufacturers design and build products, solutions for the contract interior designer contract furniture world, which would be, you know, there's hotels, hospitality markets, educational markets, office markets, and that's kind of like where those play, those three type industries. In the office furniture world, contract dealerships typically align themselves with a single manufacturer, and many manufacturers limit what other lines you can carry. So not too different than automobile dealerships. So when you are looking to purchase a contract furniture, which is defined, you know, in my mind by, you know, complete design, quality product solutions, many times they have long-term warranties, which is very important to know, but manufacturers don't provide service. So the contract dealership is the service entity supporting the manufacturer. So that's what happens. And that's the difference between the two. Contract furniture dealers usually have salespeople, they have in-house design firms, they have customer service. They play a role where they place, you know, they give you pricing. So they buy at one price or a net price, but then they resell it because manufacturers have what's called a list price. And that list price is usually the retail price, is the best way to explain it.
Yep.
But depending on your volume of purchase and or the dealership's volume of purchase, they discount that. And then they have to provide the proposals. They can, you know, let's just say you have a kit of parts to build out a workstation area. Well, the design team at the dealership has to specify all that. And then they break it down and then they give you what the proposal would be. Then they tell you what the lead times would be. They have to place the orders with the manufacturer. They track the orders, confirming, you know, shipments, if there is freight charges, you know, where it's delivering to, all that type of stuff. They coordinate the pickup from the manufacturer, the delivery. And you have to be conscious like where you're delivering it to, because a whole skid of furniture, you probably just can't take at a job site. So it has to go to a warehouse.
Yep.
So the dealership has the warehouse, and yep, they also have the service installers. And then they coordinate the full installation of the component of parts that build up to make the product. So the whole service model is what the contract dealer provides versus the manufacturer. Hopefully that's clear.
Yeah. Well, I love the automobile analogy. I mean, that's really helpful if you're trying to frame up how this works. So let's back up. If I'm approaching, okay, now I need to decide, you know, Mara is very focused and I learn a lot of these things from Mara on, you know, all the upfront decisions that go into furniture and into the design of the space. Who am I serving? What does that person do for work? What does that person need? You know, what does their home office look like? What are they looking for in a workplace? Like, assuming we've done kind of that work, you know, a lot of that will drive, I think, where we go for our furniture sourcing. But let's kind of talk about the options. So if I'm thinking about furniture options, I can go sort of direct to consumer, sort of the Tesla route. I could order from IKEA. I could order from Wayfair. I could get some used refurbished furniture, and then I could install it myself. And in that model, it's sort of a DIY model, unless I have a designer sort of supporting my layout and helping me, you know, decide where things go and what to order, right? So I could sit down with the IKEA catalog and go through and pick desk chairs and kind of try to figure out how many fit in each office or in the open area. And then they show up and I have to put them together myself. I'm sure we've all been through some of that. And also, so there will be some warranty that comes on those products. It's probably somewhat limited. Although I've seen, I'd be curious about your opinion on this, that the IKEA sit stand desk has a 10-year warranty, I think, on it, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of other sort of direct to consumer, like we have some sit stand desks that have, I think, their 2 or 3 year warranties on them that we just ordered, you know, sort of on demand, not from a contract furniture manufacturer. So when I'm thinking about what level of, so there's, I mean, the way I think about it is sort of in a level, right? Like I can decide to sort of go the direct to consumer, you know, no design support, probably
like lower quality, less durable, not really necessarily designed for commercial use, or I can go with contract furniture, which is going to be more of an investment, but will last longer. And I get all the sort of, you know, services that you described in terms of getting access to that. Can you kind of talk through how to make that decision and more of the pros and cons?
Mm-hmm, for sure. So I think, like Jamie mentioned, one of my, and she's quoted me several times on this, one of my philosophies is like, who do you serve? So who's coming to your space? So, and you want to understand like what quality of space you have and how long or permanent are you going to keep certain items in that space? You know, so we always have a plan. Every 15 to 18 months, we do a refresh. What does that mean? Are you just getting new pillows? Are you getting furniture around? How do you make your space on the design side interesting and exciting for people who are coming in, you know, regularly and or for the first time? So just something to think about, right?
I know we have members that have been with us for years. And I think, oh gosh, right. We need to keep refreshing because don't assume like the space is new to, you know, to people every year or so. Like, you know, we need to keep it fresh for those people who are your long-term devoted members.
I mean, just seasonally, you know, like, if you know, just think what you do in your home to bring fall in or Halloween or, you know, and it's not only just accessories, but sometimes to move things around just makes it kind of exciting and, you know, something interesting. But so when you're thinking about one, you know, what things you need to have or you want to last, is it a style thing? Is it a fashion thing? Is it something that, you know, might wear out? You know, so some things you might want to buy, you know, as a furniture piece that you're okay if they only last a year or two because you might want to refresh them, right? Maybe it's a side chair. Maybe it's some outdoor furniture or maybe it's some accessories that go in there or lamps or, you know, just things like that. You know, like you could get IKEA desk lamps. I mean, they're not going to go bad, let's say, or something like that. But what is it that you feel you needs to last, number one? And number two, what cost are you willing to spend for that? So what quality of product? And also, how are you going to be using it in the space? If your space is 24/7 and you have people using, you know, task seating like for 12, 14 hours a day, well, that chair is going to get pretty worn out. And that's something that, you know, you really want to be able to be have last because seating is one of the, you know, for ergonomics, for height adjustability, whether it's a seat, the arms, the back adjusting, wherever those mechanisms are, those are things that wear out. And if you don't have a good quality product, you'll know that. You know, how many times have we been to places where you see some broken chairs in a corner or, you know, back in the garage? I mean, that's just something that happens. You know,
they're just not comfortable. Like to your point, you have to think through if somebody's going to sit in this for 12 hours. Like I see a lot of photos of like the molded chairs, which look so stylish, but I have those at my dining table and I can sit in them for about 30 minutes and then I'm super stiff, which might be my own problem, but I'm guessing I'm alone.
Those are
on
the
that.
Best chairs to have in a phone booth, Jamie, because you don't want people to be in there for a long time. So you have to.
That's a good point. There's a time and a place for those. Yeah,
for sure.
Or in very occasional seating where you want it to look stylish and people aren't going to sit for hours, but task chairs are different.
And like color. So color, you know, like is your brand like not going to change or do you want to throw in like brass is really hot right now or, you know, the gold tones. Yeah. So is that something that is easy to, you know, switch out or just change up or just make something, you know, of interest. But anyway, so three questions. One, who do you serve? You know, the people coming into the space have to feel comfortable with the furniture. You know, IKEA build-it-yourself furniture is not for the corporate person who has left or wants to have a virtual office and they're used to, you know, the big wooden desk, right? How long should it last? So is it a quality issue or is it a style fashion issue? And three, what price point? You know, is this an investment product that will be hardwired, that will stay in its place, that people can stand on, you can move around, you can do different things, that needs to get wired in and meet certain codes to do that? Or is it something like a metal pedestal, which is a storage unit at a desk, whether it's on casters or not casters, that you could get refurbished and or painted or it's in great condition that is under the desk that it doesn't matter? you know, you just need a black storage cabinet. And if, you know, black storage, you know, pedestals don't need to match each other and they could be scattered throughout the space and you could pay, you know, $50-$75 for a used one, you know, or do you want to pay $350 for a new one? You know, so those are kind of the three things. Who do you serve? How should it last? Quality, style, fashion, and then price point. And then along with that, when you do get contract product or when you understand like what your solutions are, just understand what the warranty is and what that means to you for longevity and or use.
So if I decide to work with, if I say, okay, you know, I need to pick at least many of my pieces and mixing it, to your point, mixing and matching is totally kosher. Like we encourage that, right? Like it just, right. You just depend on sort of for each area of the space, go through your three questions and determine kind of what's the fit there. So if I decide that some of my choices will be contract furniture, where do I start? How do I find someone to work with? When what are the things I should think about when I'm selecting someone?
So, well, one, if you don't have a designer that you're working with and—
Yeah. So designers would typically have a relationship with someone that they work with and they can help with that process, right? They could run the process. They could kind of really take care of the whole, make recommendations to you and then kind of—
Correct.
Have, yes, be that point of contact and kind of, yeah, manage that process without you having to get very involved.
Right. And then if you don't have one, or if you're interested in learning more about contract furniture, like the best thing to do is to go look at the product. Now, a lot of the product looks exactly the same. So, you know, like benching is benching, like everyone probably knows that. Task chairs look like task chairs. But it's in the end, it winds up to be, you know, if there's a particular style that you like or don't like that, you know, provides the same function, but then who services it, which would be the dealer or how you buy it, would be the relationship and how they're going to take care of you. So that's kind of important to know too. But there are great furniture markets that are regionally around the country. Like in Chicago, we have the Merchandise Mart. Los Angeles has a design center, New York has design centers, where all of the major manufacturers have showrooms, and they're really good just to go kick the tires, look at the product, see what the solutions. It might not be exactly the product you're going to specify, but you would get a real good understanding of kind of their design style and what solutions they do have to offer. And then there are some dealerships, obviously, that have showrooms as well. If you're not in a major market, like if you're not in Chicago, which has an annual furniture show called NeoCon, which is usually the second week of June. If you're not in a market like that, a lot of the dealerships have showrooms where you could also do the same thing, kick the tires, look at the product, see the style and design. And I think it's really important for you to really understand that and come up with kind of a design solution of like a, we call it a workstation typical, which would be the product layout, the specification, like not by product, but size. Okay, I need a 60 by 30 desk with a 24 by 22 kind of return idea. I need a pedestal. I want to have a screen, which is a visual separation of space. I need wire management or, you know, some of these type of things. And then you can actually have that and know what that is and then get some pricing from different manufacturers and see where the price points fall. So you could evaluate, you know, the product that you like, come up with a design. You would understand what the warranties were by looking at which lines you would look at, and then you would get the price point. So that might help you make decisions too, you know. And what are the features and benefits? So some of the product might have features that you don't need to pay for, you know, so really understand, you know, all the components that make up that product and what you really need or what you don't need, right?
So Mara, basic question. If I'm in a smaller market, so I could, you know, to your point, kind of go visit a larger market, but if I, do I Google, do I, you know, probably Google, ask for some recommendations, but tell us like, how do I find someone in my market? And then how do I, this is a challenge I hear from a lot of folks that I talk to, who are in smaller markets, is they'll go into a showroom and they still, the dealers don't understand co-working fully. Of course, at this point, everybody's aware of it, but they're not comfortable. They sort of get it and could help make the right recommendations. What should someone do in that situation?
Well, the thing about working with a dealership is they're going to work to sell you product, period.
Yep.
So I'm going to go back to, you know, a designer who knows co-working, understands co-working, and knows the solutions you would need. And then the designer could introduce you to dealerships. And again, like you could show, this is the layout I'm looking at. You know, you need to be smarter. You know, when you go into a car dealership, you have an idea what you want to buy.
You've done your research.
You have to do your research.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't need navigation in my car because I have it on my phone. Or I don't need to have, you know, there's what other features do you need? Well, I don't need to have a
all-wheel SUV drive or right. Yeah.
I would like to have, you know, something that has the best gas mileage. I mean, what features are important to you? Are you only looking for luxury? You know, these are some of the things I think you need to know in advance. And, you know, I would highly suggest, because you will save so much money for it. You know, when we're talking about interior design and like helping the co-working industry with design packages or whatever, we say that even if you pay for professional services to help you get to a certain point, you will save that money on the other side because we've looked at the details. We understand what your needs are. We're not going to over-specify, under-specify. You know, you're going to get exactly what you want, but we could help you get a competitive, you know, price point too. So I would say you go in with knowing what your layout is already. You know what features and benefits and functions you need, and like have them work with you on that level because they are salespeople.
Right. Yep. Good point. Do I have to work with someone locally? If I've done my research and I understand what I want and I get a referral from my designer or another co-working space owner who's worked with someone they really enjoy, can I work with someone remotely?
So you can work with someone remotely. However, who does the local installation, and when something is broken or you have a maintenance issue, who's going to come and take care of it? So it's good to have a local service group. So you might be able to buy, different manufacturers have different ways they deal with national accounts, I'll call that. Okay. So let's say like we have locations in multiple states. So we have actually gone with a local Frisco, Texas dealership who is warehousing all the product that we purchased, helped us to purchase some of it. We did purchase some on our own, you know, and we had it shipped to them, you know, because we do the combination. You know, we buy some on our own, we have some custom made by a custom shop, and then we did buy some contract grade furniture, but it is all being shipped to the dealership's warehouse. So, you know, because on my construction site, I can't receive product. You know, if I'm buying something from West Elm, it's ready next day. Or if I'm buying something that's custom, I've had it made already, where is it going? But then the furniture dealership will be doing all the installation for us. So then if something happens and like there is a warranty issue, they file the warranty claims for what they purchase. And or they can come back with their installers and kind of help fix it after the fact. So there, you know, and pricing should be based on, if you have multiple locations, you can work with a manufacturer or a dealership and negotiate volume discounts based on multiple locations, multiple purchases. I mean, this is a win-win. There are many co-working companies that have, you know, multiple locations, and we know who they are, and they are buying volume discounts and even warehousing them in one of their locations, and then they ship them to their other locations. Because sometimes when you buy, let's say, a container full of a product, you'll get a better discount than you would if you buy 10.
Right. So Mara, you have sort of a spec for your spaces. So you will make some local adjustments. And I know that's one of the fun aspects of the work that you do in different markets, is trying to decide, how do I Friscoize the 25 North location in Texas? But you work with local dealerships. You kind of go in with your specs and say, this is what we're looking for. Can you service this?
Correct. So we actually have a furniture typical, a standards book. We have that for floor finishes. We have that for wall finishes. We have it for fixtures, you know, FF&E, like even plumbing, you know, all of our light fixtures, everything. And we code them. So like, for example, light fixture, we have L1 through L35. But we might pick to only use maybe, you know, 15 or 20 of those in a particular job, but we don't change the number, so we know exactly what that is for our standards. But there are some, we give them our spec book, but maybe there's something that either is out of stock or something that looks just like it. And let's just say even the electrical contractor might be able to buy, you know, we buy these LED tube lights and we put them in our open space, but maybe they have a source that they could buy something that looks almost exactly like it, but they could value engineer it and save like 15%. Well, great. So same thing with furniture. We have a furniture standards package for seating, tables, ancillary furniture, you know, workstation benches. Some things we say are fixed or something we'll say or equal. So for example, break room tables, those don't have to be a particular manufacturer. You know, we have white laminate work surfaces and then we have chrome bases. And so we have a certain style that we like, but it's, you know, if the furniture dealer, they either make them themselves, you know, some of them have their own shops where they do that, or they have a vendor that they can get a really great price in, they might be able to substitute that. So they'll give us options to pick from, which is super nice, you know, because that, you know, and then they're going to buy it. So they'll make their commissions based on, you know, what products and solutions they can find for us. But obviously we have a budget up front, but, you know, we leave something up to them to maybe recommend or suggest alternates that might work within the package, but they have to present it to our design team. Our design team has to review it and then approve it as we go.
I think you've covered this a little bit, but I just want to hit on it specifically. Can you talk about the lead time for contract furniture? Because it's very different from, to your point, sometimes I can order from West Elm and it'll come in 2 days. Sometimes I order a new coffee table and it doesn't come until December, which is 3 months away. But in general, sort of the direct-to-consumer model is fairly immediate, but the contract furniture timeline is a lot longer. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, for sure, because contract furniture, you have multiple finish options. So, you know, they're mostly just-in-time manufacturing. So if you're going, let's just use your bench, for example, you can pick your laminate color out of maybe 30 different laminates. You could pick the trim around the work surface, you know, out of maybe 15 different trims. And you can mix and match everything, you know, your frame color, your screen color finish and type and size and all that. So when you place an order for contract furniture, you're providing a kit of parts or bill of materials, and all of those finishes, and when they put them together, is a custom setup for your product solution. So typically lead times would range between, you know, 4 to 8 to 12 weeks, depending, like some soft seating, depending on the style you pick, the arm you pick, and the fabric you pick, could be up to a 12-week lead time. They do typically have quick ship product lines, but those would be limited finishes. So like if you wanted to get a contract grade product and you needed something in a less than 4 week lead time or 2 week lead time, 10 day lead time, or sometimes they even have like a kind of a mini, not a full quick ship, but a short lead time, you would just have to pick from their standard finish options. So that's the difference.
It's kind of like ordering a new couch. Like when you go to Room and Board and you're like 12 weeks, mm-hmm. unless you order the one that's in stock, right? And then you have to make the decision, you know, do I really, really, really want the special color that takes 12 weeks or do I need that couch tomorrow?
Right, for sure. Yep.
What have I not asked about that you think is important to share? Oh, before I ask that, actually, I want to make sure we plug this before I forget. A couple of options. You mentioned used refurbished. You turned me on to a company called Whole Cubes, and I'll put the link in the show notes. Joel happens to be out of Chicago, but I've used their some of their items, some task chairs, some file cabinets, when I've been redoing, like turning a conference room into an office or things like that. Like you had mentioned, like there's some things you just don't necessarily need new, or he has that are like barely used, you know, an office bought all new X and then they, you know, went out of business or moved or something. And so he, you know, sort of manages, he's like kind of a centralized point for people who are liquidating or have refurbished furniture. So that's a great resource. And then you also mentioned some custom furniture, and Desk Makers is an option that I'm aware of that I know you introduced me to as well. And they come to the GWA conference. So I wanted to mention them as well. So I'll put those links in the show notes.
Awesome. Yeah. So there, a lot of the manufacturers of office furniture have been doing a lot of research about co-working and trying to understand, you know, the co-working scene and kind of what's happening, because it's really changing the way office furniture is used. You know, in the 1980s, which I hate to age myself, but back in the 80s, you know, the typical workstation was, or typical place people went to work was typically 8 feet by 8 feet. you know, because you had all these files, you know,
a palace. Yeah.
Yes. It was paper. Like, yeah, exactly. This is just a workstation, you know, and everyone had their own. Well, there's a couple things that were that way because one, everyone had, if you had a computer, it had to be hardwired and connected by, you know, cables to, you know, the back to the computer room. So there were no wireless laptops or, you know, wireless access points where people could move around. So basically you were tethered to your desk and everyone had to be there from 8 to 5 that went to work there. So then you had panels that managed not only the acoustics, but also the visual privacy of the person at the workspace. And it's what carried all the power and data, you know, and phone lines, because of course, no one used cell phones all the time. So this was, you know, in on average, $3,000 to $5,000 per workstation was the cost back in the day of the panels, the work surfaces, storage. We had overheads for binders and file cabinets for files, you know, and all those type of things.
Yeah.
You know, and then they all connected to each other and whatever. But today, you know, 3 or 4 people share one work surface that's 48 inches wide by 24 inches, and you don't even need a pedestal or storage. So the total cost and sales of office furniture volume has changed, and the way people use furniture has totally changed. So now in a corporate setting, you know, you still have people that come to work every day and go to their desk, but where is their desk? You know, it might be companies, you know, like different companies have different ways they can work and people can move around in spaces. Like the accounting departments usually have to have their own storage and, you know, kind of more privacy in their space, and legal people might have that, and marketing people might work in teams, but they still have papers and they still have things that they need to call as a dedicated desk area. And some people, sales, well, maybe they can hotel and come in and out and move around. So this co-working is very different because, you know, they're selling now not to the company, but to the owner of the co-working space, and they're making it flexible. And, you know, I don't know how many times you, Jamie, in your space, but we have team rooms. We're moving furniture around all the time, and we have to have standards, and we have to be able to pick it up and carry it around. We don't really have anything tied to, you know, running power or cable through it, unless it's the bench that never moves.
Right.
So there's a lot of white papers that they have out there. There's a lot of people doing research for the major manufacturers. You know, I've in Neocon, I attend that every year. I've listened to some of them make presentations, things like that, but they're just still learning. We know so much more ourselves, you know, the
I know. I think that, I mean, I love like Hayworth puts out some good work and Knoll does some good work. I mean, they're all research in Steelcase. Steelcase does a lot of research, but it's all through observation, right? Where we're living it and seeing it every day. So they're still learning and trying to get ahead of the curve on some of it.
So to our advantage, I think there are a lot of manufacturers who are like dying to get into the co-working world and really understand it. So there is a need for them. And I think, you know, it's great that they want to learn and help us with what they're doing. So, you know, there's an opportunity there too to bring, whether it's dealerships or manufacturers, to projects, because I think, you know, this is the future and they want to be a part of it. So how do we work together?
Yep. And they, I mean, certainly to their credit, have research departments and, you know, I don't know exactly what they're called, like scientists who are, you know, developing new products to try to support new ways of working. So they're always trying to work a little bit ahead. And I think we can, right, learn a lot from each other through the process.
And the other thing to think about, you know, there are companies like West Elm. Now they have a contract group. So a lot of us are using residential, and there's all these buzzwords that the design industry and the contract furniture market has come out with. Like one word they use is called resimmercial, which is so funny. They use that all over Neocon this year. So it's, you know, because commercial offices are wanting to look more residential.
Yes, right.
Even hotels.
Bringing the home into work. Yeah.
Correct. So obviously a lot of designers are looking at residential product solutions to go into the commercial spaces. And co-working is still a commercial space, you know? So a lot of these residential product lines, like Crate and Barrel now has a contract line. And like I said, West Elm has a contract line and they're kind of mixing and blending it together. So there's a lot of changes that are going to happen. I think that, you know, Tesla is changing the way people buy cars. So is Uber and Lyft and all of that. People don't need all the cars, you know, so the sharing economy, the idea of having service between the manufacturer and the service provider. I mean, but as we were talking earlier, there is so much detail to opening a co-working location. You know, there are experts out there that can help you. And this dealership service model is something that might be able to take away a piece of the headache and help with solutions, even though there's a cost to it, just to help pull it all together for you. And like I said, you know, hold it, warehouse it. You know, we don't want to have warehouses and do all that ourselves and take care of the full installation and be able to service it when you need it. So
perfect. Mara, thank you so much for sharing again your expertise. And, you know, you see a lot of the industry through the clients that you work with, not just through your own spaces, but through all of the different industry hats that you wear. And so your insight is particularly valuable because it's so broad. So thank you for joining us and taking the time to share with us today. I really appreciate it. And I will put your contact info in the show notes as well, if anybody wants to reach out to Mara and learn more about her design studio and 25 North.
Thanks, Jamie. Really appreciate it.
Until next time, I'm sure there will be another one.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.